Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast 780 for the week of August 16th, 2025. Chris Perfect here, bringing you this week's update on my Final Fantasy XI adventures on a private server. No, nobody's here for that.
Yay!
Joining me, Josh Carpenter.
Throwing a Subway sub at Roblox for this week.
Oh, Roblox. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's okay to throw it at Roblox.
Yeah, fair. Robert Albright.
I've been explaining the depths of Super Robot Wars lore to everybody this week.
Oh, no. Kelly Ryan, are you up to speed on robot lore?
No. My quirky thing is that I learned that you can buy surgical needles in bulk.
Okay.
A pack of 100.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I could have told you that.
Oh, we learned that our dog is diabetic. So we're having to do insulin shots every 12 hours, and they like whip out the vet gives us this like huge thing that comes with 100 needles and a little dispenser, or not a dispenser, what do you call it?
Sharps container.
Yes, disposal unit. And I was just like, damn. I don't know why I didn't think that, because it makes sense that you would need needles in bulk, but it was just like, wow, that's a lot of needles.
Especially with my job. Or at least the company I work for. You know, we need needles in bulk.
And props to Chris, because I can't imagine having to do this process with a cat.
It was unpleasant, but we got through it. Like I said, we were able to cheat because we were giving them fluids as well for their kidneys. So we were already doing the fluids. So adding the insulin on top of it wasn't the end of the world. But we had to get one of those monitors that was a little button that you kind of stick like on their side. That was so Sophie became a cyborg, and that was cool.
Yeah. This week we're like kind of getting him used to the medicine, and then next week we have to take him to the vet, and they have to like figure out his exact dosage.
Yeah.
And fun times.
Yeah. It's not fun at all. So
no, but he's a good puppy and he's still very lively. So what we got to do to help him.
Yeah.
When I lost my cat a couple of years ago, he was like 19 years old and diagnosed as diabetic. And I went ahead and made the decision to put him down because I didn't want the last year of his life being pulled out from under the bed and getting jabbed, because he didn't really like being messed with. Versus this our dog Rex, where he's very lively, still very happy. And we just want to give him the best. So, lifestyle adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you take your pets to the vet, kids. Catch this stuff early.
Have you been playing anything around these vet visits?
More Dragon Quest Monsters. I am getting close to the end. Had a huge story thing where you had to guess an imposter, and it is one of those things to where no matter what you guessed, you were wrong, and then you had to go try again. And that was annoying. Starting to make more high level. I had to make a bunch of high level monsters because I got hit with like a DPS check boss that was just wrecking me. And that was annoying, but I managed to kill it with like four different dragon slimes that were just casting water spells over and over again. So that was an interesting boss fight. But I also got sucked into a really dumb roguelike.
Which one?
It's called Atomicrops.
Okay.
And it is Enter the Gungeon mixed with Harvest Moon mixed with Vampire Survivors.
That's weird.
Yeah, but it is addictive as hell. So the impetus of this one is that you get the game starts out where you get a farm like in Stardew Valley, and then they teach you how to build your crops and all that fun stuff, and then the apocalypse happens. So There's a day-night cycle, and during the day cycle, you're running around, getting seeds and killing bunnies and trying to like get upgrades for your farm. And then the night cycle, you're defending your farm from said bunnies and other like horrible creatures. And then once the night cycle ends, there's a break where you go to your farm, go to the town, and you buy upgrades using all the stuff that you that like all the money that you got from your farm. And like if you grow roses, you can date people in town. And depending on who you date, like if you end up marrying them, you get special bonuses. Like the person I married is like a mutant fly right now that follows me around and slows down enemies. And there's like different a whole bunch of different spouses you can get. Like one of them is like a water elemental that will help water your crops and stuff like that. And every 3 in-game days there is a boss fight. And you get through this boss fight. Or you get through the boss fight, and the bosses are anything from a giant angry sun, a UFO with sub UFOs that abduct your animals, a mushroom called the spore, all the names are very punny, by the way.
I like sport,
A mutant tractor, a kind of Rambo bunny, I think called the Bunnonomicon, that's riding on a moon and shooting at you. And there's other bosses, but the bosses are very funny. And by the way, this whole game is very tongue-in-cheek, kind of over-the-top cartoon humor, I might add. Like all the crops you grow are like mutant crops that have faces that kind of bounce up and down. But you beat the boss. There's a harvest festival, and you go talk to the mayor, and depending on how well you did in the quote-unquote month, because the month is only 3 days, you get a whole bunch of bonuses and upgrades, and what you want is cornucopias because those add to your permanent upgrades at the end of the year. So there's like a 3 day cycle, a boss, and then every you go through the different seasons, and then at the end of the year, you fight a huge boss where instead of shooting at it, you have to grow crops to throw at it.
Nice.
And then you finish the year and you get all your bonuses. And then you unlock a hard like year one, year two, and each subsequent year is harder than the last. And right now, I had just unlocked year 5 of year 10. And this game is so addictive because I keep getting into a cycle of just one more run,
Nice.
just one more run. Because yeah, once you unlock the permanent upgrades, like the because there's a central camp where you can do all these permanent upgrades, and a couple of them are that there's like 5 ants that you can have to your central camp that give you the upgrades. And there's and this is what hooked me. There's a cat trader
Oh boy.
that you can fill your camp with cats. And well, during your runs, you can find cat plushes that for each cat you have, you get various stat bonuses. And basically, you're using the cornucopias that you get from your various runs to upgrade. And the game is so addictive. I wanted to like Enter the Gungeon, but the permanent upgrades in those game in that game were very difficult to unlock, and I just got frustrated and angry versus this game, to where if you kind of take your time and because I forgot to mention that you have your farm, but you also have 4 different biomes that you can explore, and that's where you get your seeds to grow, and you can find different animals like cows, water crops, and pigs dig up things, and ch chickens cut weeds, and bees fertilize your crops. And when you're exploring the different biomes is where you find all this kind of stuff. And there's like a basic version of the biome, and then there's a much harder version of the biome. And the whole game is just chaos incarnate. And I found this on Steam for like, I want to say like $5. That there's two different DLCs
It's
that come with it.
15 now, it looks like.
Yeah, it was on sale. Because I think the one DLC comes with the game, and then the other DLC has a new character that you can play as. That's a crow who kind of whose crops work different, but and some of the weapons are crazy. Like having a literal potato gun that shoots potatoes, but it's a very rapid fire gun. So to me, it's one of the best guns in the game. And yeah, I don't know if I'm selling it or not.
Well, I mean, you didn't need to. Apparently, I got it in 2021 somehow.
Maybe it was one of those free downloads at some point.
Part of one of my Humble Bundles, probably.
Yeah. But it definitely ticks that box of just one more run, and I'm addicted to farming games anyway, so having it combined with a game like this is just like cocaine for me. Though I need to stop because I notice like, wow, my wrist really hurts. Oh, it's because of the death grip I've got on my Xbox controller, because this the action in this game, especially in some of the higher difficulties, gets pretty intense. You're like running all over the place, dodging stuff. And yeah, I didn't think I was gonna get hooked as hard as I got to this game, but once I kind of got past year two and had kind of figured out the cycle of how to upgrade properly to actually get somewhere, I couldn't put the game down. And I need to put the game down because I've got other games I want to play.
Like
Like, I
what?
need to finish Dragon Quest Monsters, and I picked up Off this week because I really wanted to play that one.
They a
So,
review has been going around, I saw. People
yeah, I
checking it
saw
out.
that's. That's awesome.
Go watch it on YouTube or read it on the site if you haven't seen the Off review. Check that out.
So yeah, I might need to uninstall this from my Steam Deck. I don't usually go this hard for roguelikes, but give me farming.
I mean, all it needs to be is just the right one. They're crap. I was playing one recently, and like Dalandar was like, "Oh yeah, I was playing the that Metalbringer," and Dalandar was like, "Oh, we're getting you into roguelikes. It's like it's just gotta be the right style."
Yeah, because I really wanted to like Enter the Gungeon because I had heard so much stuff about it, but that one I just suck at. And I honestly think that the path to getting the permanent upgrades to kind of help you compensate for sucking, is way too tuned way too high in this game, in that game.
I think that was also one of the earlier ones, though. So.
Like I beat Rogue Legacy, and I felt like that one was too hard at first. But then once I started getting a lot of the upgrades, and that one it wasn't nearly as bad.
I forgot how ugly Final Fantasy XI looks.
I know, but I'm looking at his window right now. But you got to admit, for PS2, some of those models look pretty cool.
Well, because these have been
It's a
scaled
bit
up to a
shiny.
higher resolution because it's a
Yeah.
PC client, and they did some modding to make some of the textures better on this version of the client. But
Yeah, I forgot about that.
it still looks ugly.
It's a very earth tone focused game, so if you don't like green and brown and red, you're not going to have a good time.
It's of an era.
Yeah, it
Yeah,
is.
it's of an era. Let's go with that. For those wondering, Chris is playing Final Fantasy XI live during the on our Twitch while we do this recording.
I felt really bad because the one time we played this week, we was helping him get his items for breaking his level cap, and we got into the Citadel, and I had been having problems with, or I had problems with the Citadel when I was leveling. So I got in there and sort of Leroy Jenkins into the Citadel and started aggroing enemies because I wanted to go on a rampage. And Ryan Scar is like, no, don't kill those enemies. And Chris was getting aggro because we were in a party, and he's like, hang on, hang back, let us take care of these. And I'm like, oh, sorry.
So I've been playing Final Fantasy XI all week because this was a bad choice I made, but also, like, I've been having fun. I like this. I missed 11 somehow. I left for good reasons. I probably shouldn't be doing this, but I'm still having fun. So what will I say? I'm 67 on my highest job right now. Thank you to Kelly and Scar for helping get through some of the obstacles that I can't solo. And now it's just a matter of getting up to 75 and deciding if I want to play anymore or not. So we'll see how that goes. It shouldn't take long. It should be 75 today, I assume. But anything interesting to say? Like, XP growth is high. That's been fun. Cat's Eye is a private server is neat. I did a bunch of research to see if retail would be worth jumping back into now. Since, like, I'd rather support the game if I was really going to be into it. And ultimately, the results of that investigation is inconclusive. There could be some fun parts about new things that are in the retail version 11, but also, if no one is there to play with you, that's no fun.
What's the point?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Although, isn't the retail version still getting updates?
Yes. But, like, the story type updates stopped in 2024. That's when they gutted what was left of the dev team. They're in very much a maintenance mode with minor patches that a couple people are working on. And then even the support staff, like, I'm getting horror stories from people on this private server about they went to the support staff and the support staff said, unless your issue is kind of dealing with logging in, we can't really fix much about your character or whatever happened here. So if you want that level of support, you should probably go play Final Fantasy 14. It's like, wait, really? Okay.
Wait, this was the Squeenix stuff?
Yep.
Okay.
That's what they claim. I don't know how reliable this secondhand story is. So, yeah, it sounds like it's a 23-year-old game, and it's only, you can only expect so much from the company at that point, I guess.
Yeah.
I wonder if it has just enough of a subscriber base to be a decent revenue stream.
It must be. Otherwise, why would they keep it going? They have shareholders.
Like, isn't EverQuest 1 still going?
Yes. Go log into that and tell me how long it takes you to get frustrated with the controls, by the way. I'm curious.
I never played EverQuest. That was way too
hard. Neither did I. So I tried it last year or the year before, and I didn't make it 5 minutes. I said, no, I'm not controlling a game like this. I'm out.
If you really want to go old school, there's Ultima Online.
Ooh.
Is that even still going?
I don't know.
Yes.
Okay,
Wind streamed it on our channel a few times.
That's the one where if you don't do your house payment, your house explodes into a pinata of loot, and people camp that stuff.
Adventure Quest Worlds is where it's at, Kappa.
That was the Flash one, wasn't it?
Must be.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Now there's a mobile version. Adventure Quest Battle Gems. Adventure Quest Worlds, it's still running. So if it is Flash, they must have packaged it in an emulator. Cool. The art looks nice on Adventure Quest, but I think I'm good on free to play. And yes, I'm still training the horse girls, but not as much. I'm working that down to the level of play it a little bit, but don't get obsessed with it anymore. And then eventually I'm going to stop playing it, most likely.
Oh, that's a roguelike too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's a roguelike and a gacha.
Yep. All double the evil the addiction. Yeah, all the evil addiction mechanics rolled up in one. Yay. All right, what about you, Josh?
Well, at least you're having fun with the game that you're just continually playing and won't end.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm still trugging away on Trails Through Daybreak and not
Oh.
having a good time with it. No.
Boo.
Is it a sunk cost fallacy at this point?
Kind of. Well, the problem is that,
Josh, it gets
like,
good at 75 hours.
that's where I am, Chris.
Oh, no.
I'm like 70 plus hours into this thing, and it's if I mean the they finally start unraveling the story of the game once you get to Paradise, and I'm past that and into the next act. And last night I kind of got lost on one of the side quests, and so I'm like, okay, look up a guide real quick, see where I need to go. And I'm like, oh no, wait a second, how many parts to Act Three are there? There's six parts, and I'm only oh no, I'm only in the third one. This goes on. Oh no, I thought I was getting close to the end of this. No,
Well,
it.
I don't know if you read our general chat, but I shared a news article that saw of some publication, did I forget which one, with Falcom about the remake of the Trails in the Sky 1.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh yeah, it's going to be 80 hours long."
Yep, I saw that. Yep. That is not exactly what I wanted from the first game.
It's like,
I
oh,
played it
they've
for
made it
50, I
twice as
thought.
long.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Some of the choices. Well, I think probably for me the biggest thing, and I mean it's been a continual issue, and it kind of like waxes and wanes as you play through Daybreak 2, is that the whole idea of like having different timelines that you jump between. But they never do, I mean, they just absolutely never do anything interesting with it, either from a storytelling standpoint or from a gameplay standpoint. Like Radiant Historia would have that where you would do one thing in one timeline and it would affect things that happened in the other timeline. Or you place a game like 999 and there are bad endings that you play, but they give you interesting little insights into parts of the story that you couldn't otherwise see unless you got to that bad ending. This one is just like you get a bad ending, you die, and then you have to play again. You play through sometimes the exact same thing, only with like, oh, hey, let's make this one choice different that we didn't give you the option to do in the first place. And just so you have to play through this again to stretch it out. So you have to see all of the story. It's just linear instead of going. Instead of letting you choose your own path, if they were going to do this, I don't know why they picked that other than just like if they actually let you just pick a path and maybe, like pick your way through it and you didn't have to see every single thing that they did. Oh no, the thing might only be like 50 hours long instead of 90. I don't think that would have been a bad thing.
Yeah, that sounds frustrating.
I mean, after a certain time, after Van has died for the 12th time, it doesn't really have any impact anymore. It's like, oh yeah, I've seen this again. Okay. Yep, time to jump back and redo part of this and then make the one different choice that it didn't even offer me the first time around. Oh yeah, and every single different path has different missables, different side quests, so like they can drag it out even further.
That sounds bad.
It easily my least favorite Trails game. Easily my least favorite. And it's such a, like I really loved the first Daybreak game, and then this one has just been such a disappointment. But yeah, I mean, where do you go with sunk cost fallacy? If this were a normal game, I'd just be like, okay, I'm tired of this, I'm dumping it, but you're in the middle of this overall gigantic story. Do I just like dump it and YouTube it? I don't know. That's the tough decision I'm facing. Many games have I now played in this series? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, nine,
Enough.
ten. Yeah, we're in double digits now.
Is the game itself bad, or are you just burned out?
I think that the story setup is bad.
Okay.
I legit think that the story, you know, like the gameplay is fine. You know, it's Trails gameplay. It's just like the you. Well, you haven't played Daybreak yet, so you haven't played where they've kind of added it in the action portions of it for the kind of like your normal dungeon crawling, where you can, instead of having to every single battle having to be a turn-based encounter, you can just kind of like do action encounters to either kind of like start the battle, and you can kind of like get an advantage and knock down the health of a enemy in kind of an action one before you jump into the turn-based section. Or if you're like fighting like weaker enemies, you can just a lot of times like just take them out using the action battle system and not have to go through the turn-based.
Sounds kind of like how Metaphor did it.
Like you in the older Trails games, you know, it would always be like, oh, I need to sneak up on the enemy and then whack them to kind of get the advantage in battle. In this one, it's more about like, okay, like doing some attacks and dodging some of the enemy's attacks so that I can like stun them and then get that advantage in battle. That's kind of the way it works. And then it just allows you then, if you're like going back through an older area, or if you're, you know, like fighting some weaker enemies, you don't have to, you know, you can just kind of skip the turn-based battle and just kind of like go through them action style much quicker. So like it's a plus. It just gets really frustrating in this game where you're like, they are just, you know, like you've gone through this section, you got to the end, face the boss kills you, there is no way to avoid being killed. And then it's, oh, you got to go back, and oh, you had to, we're going to give you the option to go and talk to this person, and you can bring them along, and then it's a different time, you have a different time against the boss, now you can actually defeat them. And it's just like, oh my God, come on, game, let's move it along here. Some of it also is like, a lot of the story as I'm going along now is also revolving around Nadia and Swin from Reverie. And they were not exactly, I didn't dislike them, but they're not exactly my favorite Trails characters either. Daybreak 2 is just kind of been a big miss for me.
I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah, I know.
So we just skip the Daybreak saga, it sounds like.
The first one was good.
All right. All right.
Maybe skip two. Maybe YouTube too.
It sounds like the pressure of Trails trying to be an annual series is really starting to get to them.
It's well, and their desire to make it that huge, you know, like to make this like 80 plus hour epic. I'm just like, nah, guys, I don't think. You certainly can't make everything work. You can't be making churning out one of these every other year with like an ease game in between and actually, you know, like be able to hit and deliver on all this. Like you just can't. I think you're right. I think it's kind of starting to show.
That's how I got with SMT.
And I mean, it's a tricky thing. Like, you know, like they've got to, like I said, these are all public companies. They got to make money. So they gotta have product out there to make it, you know, to be able to have revenue coming in. They gotta be releasing something. But whew, I think the scope is outstretching what they can actually accomplish.
All right, that means we're on to Tam. What have you been suffering through?
Mostly Super Robot Wars.
Is that suffer or is that good?
A few weeks ago, I beat Super Robot Wars Original Generation 1 as part of the Original Generations combo that is for PS2. And so I've and then I started in on Super Robot Wars Original Generation 2, which is part of that PS2 remake as well. So now I'm playing both Super Robot Wars Original Generation 2, which I've finished, but I'm replaying Super Robot Wars Original Generation 1 on that same collection only because I'm really like Super Robot Wars. So Andy found this post on, I want to say it was Blue Sky, and posted it at me in our Discord, where this guy's like, I had to rip apart my soul again explaining to someone about the numerous challenges in re-releasing all the Super Robot Wars original generation games on modern platforms, as I detailed how many of them were, including relevant story spin-offs, and I really should just write about this one day. And so I went into a dissertation on our currently playing channel where I went into this rant for like off and on for 2 days explaining the Super Robot Wars original generation timeline and how different games that intersect with it go. And Andy was like, bruh, okay, yeah, wow. I was like, you thought I was joking. Or you thought, so referring to the guy, you thought this guy was joking, right? And it's like, I didn't. I was just expecting a smaller list. I was like, yeah, no. Super Robot Wars has like over 40 games in the Super Robot Wars franchise. And the original generations ones have there's a spin-off series called Super Robot Wars Original Generations Endless Frontier. And it is a legit spin-off because it is based off of some information that you learned from an audio drama.
Oh, goodness.
And the Super Robot Wars Original Generation Endless Frontier, which is two games, Endless Frontier and Endless Frontier XSEED, is connected to Namco X Capcom.
Oh, boy.
Because there's a comment by So the two main characters of Namco X Capcom show up in Endless Frontier. And Cosmos ends up in Endless Frontier. And they comment to Cosmos being like, oh, what happened to your body? You look different. Because in Endless Frontier, she's using the Xenosaga Episode 3 outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And in Namco X Capcom, she's using the Xenosaga Episode 1 outfit.
Mm.
So they actually it actually has legit ties to Super Robot Wars Original Generation Endless Frontier. But the reason that matters for Super Robot Wars Original Generations is in Frontier XSEED, which is the second game we didn't get, one of the characters named Axel from Original Generations 2 is in that game. And then Sanger Zonvolt, the sword who smites evil, shows up in Project X Zone, which is a direct sequel to Frontier XSEED. So it's like, yes, Project X Zone is legit part of the Super Robot Wars Original Generation timeline. I cannot make this stuff up.
Project Cross Zone was such an underrated game.
It gets very grindy. It's the dudes just have such huge HP sponges at the end. So yeah, you have like all these things that are part of the greater Super Robot Wars franchise for just OG, and this is not counting like the side series that they've done, like the Z Saga or the TVXY Saga or any of that. So yeah, Super Robot Wars is a trip, and it is. I went on like a 2-day rant on our Discord about it.
I feel like I want to go back and play the Cross Zone games just now that I know who Kiryu and all the Yakuza characters are.
Well, I mean, they're only in the second game.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought they were in the first game.
They were not in the first game.
Even the Dead Island guy was.
No, they were not in the first game at all.
Huh. Maybe it was another obscure Sega character I'm thinking of.
There were a number of obscure characters. I can pull up a list of characters.
Actually, it might be confusing Kiryu with Frank West.
Frank West was
He covered
it.
Wars, you know.
I know.
Yeah, so the first game had... Oh, wrong list.
Ichiro Igami was in the first game from Sakura Wars. Sakura.
The second game has both of them, and then also the lead girl from the French one and the American one.
Yeah.
Which, incidentally, the four of them and the dude you play in the American one all show up in Super Robot Wars 30, completely unrelated. So, yeah, there is a... Yeah, just... All right, here we go. So, there's Kogoro, Tenzai, and me, Karuji, who are original to Project X Zone, Yuri Lowell and Estelise from Tales of Vesperia, Jin Kazuma and Ling Zayu from Tekken. I don't know if I'm pronouncing any of these names right. Kite and Black Rose from Dot Hack, Cosmos and Telos from Xenosaga, Soma and Alisa from God Eater, Hawken Brownie and Kaguya Nambu from The Endless Frontier, which also plays into Super Robot Wars because or original generations because Hawken Browning gets teleported into the Super Robot Wars original generations timeline during Moon Dwellers. So yeah, it's and like Sanger's like vouching for him. It's like, oh yeah, I know this guy, and that's because of Project X Zone. It's actually tied in.
Oh god.
Yeah, Reiji Arisu and Zaimu from Namco X Capcom and Endless Frontier, Cress Redfield and Jill Valentine from Resident Evil, Dante from Devil May Cry, and Dmitry Maximoff from Darkstalkers, Ryu and Ken Masters from Street Fighter, Chun-Li from Street Fighter, and Morgan Einsland from Darkstalkers, X and Zero from Mega Man X, Frank West from Dead...
Are SMT people in it at all?
No.
I think this was before Atlas bought
them.
Well, that and remember, this was made by Monolith.
Okay.
Well, it was also made by... Yeah, developers. Banpresto Studios and Monolith Software. Publisher was Namco Bandai. So basically, it was a Bandai game.
And I also just realized I can use my starring features Dante from Devil May Cry stickers that I printed out to put on SMT Nocturne remaster on my Project Cross 7 box.
Okay.
Yeah. Frank West from Dead Rising, Heisen Ko from Darkstalkers, Kurt Irving from Riella Marceris. Oh, and Riella Marceris from Valkyria's Chronicles 3. Ichiro Ogami and Sakura Wars, Gemini Sunrise, Erica Fontaine from Sakura Wars, Kira Yuki and Paichan from Virtua Fighter, Tomo and Cyrel from Shining Force EXA, Zephyr and Leanne from Resonance of Fate, and then you also had Flynn Shifo from Tales of Vesperia, Alisa Boskanovich from Tekken, Haiichi Mishima, Sango Zonvolt from Super Robot Wars Original Generations, Lindell Amamiya from God Eater, Valkyrie from Valkyrie no Boken, Saya from Namco X Capcom, Neneko from Yumiria, Lady from Devil May Cry, Juri Han from Street Fighter, Tron Bon and the Serve Boss from Mega Man Legends, Arthur from Ghosts and Goblins.
Lord help. So many.
Yeah. De Valette de Death Satan the Ninth from Cyberbots, Batsu Ichimonji from Rival Schools, Imka from Valkyria Chronicles 3, Ulula from Space Channel 5, Vacheron.
That's not a Namco game.
There's Sega stuff too.
But I thought it was Namco Cross Capcom.
No, this is Project X Zone.
I hate everything. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, see, now you understand the pain of trying to sort through just the Super Robot Wars original generation timeline. This is a whole dissertation-capable editorial, and I refuse to write it.
You should write it, though. We could put it on the site. I don't want
to. Yeah. So then we were joking. It's like, we should do a where to start for Super Robot Wars. And then the two different people replied, it's like, it should be a where not to start.
Yeah, it's like, where the contents would just be the letter or the word no.
That could be an April Fool's Day joke.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Super Robot Wars 30 is a decent place to start. If you import TNV, I recommend those. Those were very fun. I enjoyed those. I did not enjoy X. X, I don't think, was a good mashup. They tried, but it just, I didn't think it pulled it off very well. So yeah. Oh, there, and we also have Bruno Dellinger from Dynamite Cop, which is basically just Bruce Willis from the Bruce Willis.
But yeah,
That's a...
wasn't there a Die Hard trilogy game on Sega?
Yeah, and I think they, for copyright reasons, they had to rename it to Dynamite Cop, so it just looks like, so he's kind of a Bruce Willis knockoff. Yeah, so anyways, yeah, no, it's just I'm good with not writing about Super Robot Wars for the site. Not that I don't love Super Robot Wars, but yeah.
You sound like you could give a TED talk about Super Robot Wars.
I do every time I have to stream it because it's like, oh, I recognize this game, but wait, it seems different. It's like, oh yeah, well, this is because of this. And I'm good with my TED talks. Chaos and Hendy can and Fest can all can vouch for my TAM talk about Super Robot Wars Original Generations when I stream it like every right now because I keep having to tell people it's like, oh yeah, this is Original Generations, not Original Generation, because Original Generation were the GBA games, but Original Generations has stuff from some of the later games that came out after the original generation games came out, and it's confusing and no one gets it. And see, Fez is in the chat being like, I'll vouch for this.
I can't imagine why people would be confused by original generation and original generations being different.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but that's basically been what I've been playing is just a lot of Super Robot Wars because I really do love Super Robot Wars.
You are deep down the hole right now.
I am deep in the hole of Super Robot Wars. And I have no regrets.
All right. Well, I regret to tell you all that that's the end of our now playing. What did we have for feedback?
Our question of the week last week was, did I put it in here? Can you tolerate a game where one thing is terrible if everything else is excellent? From Strawberry Eggs, oh, for sure, I can look a terrible trait if everything else in a game is excellent. One example I can think of is the Wii RPG, Arkrise Fantasia. It has a fantastic battle system that stands out, looks pretty good for a Wii game, but is infamous for its atrocious English voice acting. Though this game was released in 2010 in North America, but you would think it was from the mid-90s with how terrible the voice work is. Plus, the somewhat weak localized script does impact story, but it was somewhat saved by doing some interesting things. I like Arkrise Fantasia in spite of its localization. You're making me think about Betten Kaitos and how I had to mute the voices in that game because it sounded like they were recording in a tin can.
Hey, I respect the tin can recording.
It was so distracting. I could not with it handle it.
I said I can respect it. That doesn't mean I like it. I remember reading or hearing about like a voice actress commenting that she had to record. I forget what game it was for, but she ended up having to record voice lines in her closet, in her hall closet, like padding it with some extra blankets and whatnot, just so she wouldn't disturb her neighbors in her apartment.
Well, they must not have done that with that game because it sounded awful. Like, oh my God, I couldn't believe how terrible that game sounded. From Shaman, I misread last week's question of the week, the mechanic that makes you cringe, and thought it referred to elements of a game in general. Though I suppose I could say locking a lot of quest progress behind a gacha system is also a cringeworthy mechanic in Xenoblade 2. The Not Like Us references specifically to the lyric, trying to strike a chord, and it's probably a minor, specifically referring to the highly creepy relationship between Tora and Poppy. Yeah, because he mentioned the song, and I was like, I don't listen to modern music. But anyway, current question of the week, I can forgive a game having having one bad mechanic if the rest is good. Earthbound is my favorite RPG of all time, and the inventory is straight out of the original Dragon Quest. And if Chris is still looking into ROM hacks, Unbound is a good example of a total conversion Pokemon hack. And if you're looking for a more difficult experience with more variety, the hacks from the creator Drano still hold up a decade and a half after they came out in some cases.
Cool. Thank you. I have Unbound downloaded already, actually. So everyone talks about Unbound. So I have that one. But yeah, the Drano is a good advice. I should look at those.
So, anyone going to beat me into the news?
I am.
Honk.
And it's dead. Disciples Domination has been announced from Calypso Media and Artifact Studios. A sequel to Disciples Liberation, which is a turn-based tactical RPG set to release this year on PC and consoles with a hex-based grid system. Coming out for PC, PS5, and Xbox. I don't even remember the original game that we covered.
Yeah, the original was only like 21? Wasn't that long ago. I do not remember it either. Had some DLC, so must have done okay.
Yeah.
We also do not have a review of the original, so I can't tell you about it.
An update for the game Imperial adds new customization options. I guess you meet a character called the Mini Mage, and if you save him, he gives you... And if you give him a place to live, he allows you to transmogrify your armor so that you can change the look without changing the stats. And I guess this mini mage also has a bunch of stuff for sale.
I know nothing about Imperial, so I don't know.
Wonder if I should have culled that story. Anyway, moving on. So this was an interesting story. Story of Seasons Grand Bazaar partners with the Royal Zoological Society of Scotland for DLC.
Okay.
And they have a 10-minute video about how Marvelous paired with the Zoological Society to save a fly.
Okay. Yes.
An endangered fly, the pine hoverfly.
Do we want those flies?
I guess.
Okay. So how did playing Story of Seasons save that?
There is DLC, and the proceeds are going to the Royal Zoological. Okay, it's just raising money.
Got it.
Yes. Yeah.
But this is speaking of it in past tense, right? No. The story isn't, but the video says how Story of Seasons helped save a real life species. Like, they did it. Which I'm like, okay, but then why does it sound like you wanted to sell DLC now to give them money, but you already did the thing? I'm so confused.
No, it's been many years in the making.
All right.
I think it's the way to put it. Yeah.
Assuming this is a good fly, which, man, I have trouble accepting, but I will accept it.
What was the name of the fly?
Pine hoverfly. I mean, if they're like pollinators, then
I mean, they must be, right? Thing, yeah.
But yeah.
If they're like biting flies, then that would suck.
Hey, we all serve a purpose here on the ecosystem of Earth.
Except hornets.
I don't understand mosquitoes and their purpose.
Yeah, mosquitoes, gnats, and mayflies. Can we just opt out of those and hornets?
Oh, definitely the hornets.
Yeah.
Yellow jackets.
Yeah.
I want you to know this collaboration made it onto the wiki page for the fly.
Okay. Most press this fly has seen since ever. Which makes sense, like, because if it was almost gone and now it's back, like, because of this. What made them choose this fly? I guess they didn't. They chose the Royal Conservation Society of Scotland?
Royal Zoological Society.
Yeah.
But I guess that leads to our question of the week this week. What is the most interesting video game collaboration to you? Like, my first thought was the Louis Vuitton collaboration with Final Fantasy 13. I think it was Louis Vuitton. I honestly can't remember.
Yeah, I think I know there was one with Louis Vuitton. It was cup noodles in 15.
You know what?
Hmm.
I have an answer for this.
What?
It's when Snoop Dogg played Call of Duty on E3's streams.
Ooh.
What about Post Malone? Because
they were high. Sorry, go ahead.
What about Post Malone and Pokemon?
I feel nothing about Post Malone. I don't know what to tell you. Like, maybe?
Okay, so I did find it here. The pine hoverfly is critically important to Scotland's forest ecosystems as both a pollinator and a waste recycler, playing a vital role in maintaining biodiversity.
Okay.
So it is indeed a pollinator.
That's what I wondered.
Sounds good.
It's not considered a pest.
Thank you, fly. We should get Daxter to fly to cross promote. No?
But yes, no, write in and tell us about what collaboration amuses you, because this kind of came out of nowhere this week and we were like, okay, good for them. But if there was ever a game to promote environmentalism, it would be this the Story of Seasons.
The farming games, yeah. Story of Seasons, yeah. Harvest Moon, and what else? Stardew Valley, right?
And yeah, the DLC comes with outfits that have like little flies on them.
Cool.
Like, what is the thing in the center? Is that a mask or a parachute? I don't know.
That is sure. A gliding thing, like in Zelda, where you can fly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know Grand Bazaar had
gliding. Yeah, I saw there was a screenshot of it somewhere in this video. So,
oh, those outfits are cute.
They look nice enough to have in real life. It's a good color scheme on the shirts. Mm-hmm. All right, what's Wizards of Legends 2 doing?
It is coming to Switch.
It exists. Got it.
Yeah.
When's it coming?
It is coming. The story not say.
Well, they put out a trailer at least. Year. Okay, later this year. There's a trailer now. I don't remember the first one, but this is a... it looks like Hades, but it's multiplayer attacking things as a wizard. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Is it roguelike? Hades. Nobody remembers. Okay, there's a lot of dashing. I'm just going to let it be. Watch the trailer. It looks cool. It actually shows gameplay. We'll see what it's like when it's out. Or you could go
maybe
play the first one.
Maybe this will be something for your group there.
Maybe, actually. You're right. All right. Then we also have something with very pretty pixel art graphics. Forge of the Fae.
Oh, yeah. We posted on this in the... I think they got a publisher.
What's this? We're running around. It looks like a Chrono Trigger sort of thing. But what is it actually?
Set in a world inspired by 1800s Ireland, where humans and Fae are in conflict. The game follows a young inventor, Flora. And you're trying to save a world or uncover the secrets of the world, and it's gonna have a Kickstarter and is planned to release in 2027, so we've got some time on this.
I was so interested until you said that last part, Kelly.
This has some very beautiful pixel art.
They're going for turn-based combat, but let's wait and see what they want with the Kickstarter. And yeah, okay, let us know when it's out.
I just report.
Yeah. This is a new MMO that they're now... No, multiplayer RPG is this next one. Okay.
Looks like... the screenshots remind me of Zelda Everlast.
It looks like a survival crafting RPG, maybe? I don't know.
There's going to be an alpha playtest, and it's set to release in 2026, and you can wishlist it now on Steam.
Is this a MMO, or just like a multiplayer with a small party sort of thing? Do we know?
It's multiplayer with a small party.
Okay. Learn about upcoming playtests. So anyway, you should check that out. It's got a cool look to it. Like, it's in that vein of action-y RPGs where you're running around chopping out trees, building your houses. So sandbox stuff, right? So check that out if you're into that.
Deathless, the Hero Quest is coming to consoles in autumn.
Hey, it's a deck building RPG.
We got our quotient in this
Yeah,
week.
Is it a roguelike too? It has to be, right?
It has to be. Always, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't, so that's why I'm asking. Is it a roguelike? Do we know? Looks like it. Deck builder, turn-based RPG. That's all I know. All right. Maybe not a roguelike.
Yes, roguelike. It says so on their Steam page.
On the Steam page? Okay, there we go. Coming to console this fall. Check out the trailer. It looks neat.
Yeah, so far we've had pixel art, roguelike, and deck builder. So, multiplayer. So yeah, I think we've hit the quota this week.
Yep, we hit
trifecta.
It. Yep.
Or quadfecta.
Do we not have a souls like?
Oh, we'll get there, Kelly. Just be patient.
Black and white dungeon crawler Secret of the Weepstone announced. And this is inspired by 70s and 80s tabletop adventures.
The art style in this is so really
you, do you remember that Wii game?
Mad World.
Yeah, Mad World. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like that, and it's all black and white, but it's like cel shaded black and white, like a an illustration. So it's illustration come to life. Also, if it reminds me of the one where you're an insurance adjuster going back in time to check out the ship.
Oberdin.
Yeah, Oberdin, of the Oberdin. Yeah. So, but not yellow, just black and white, where Oberdin had a lot of yellow and brown to it. So this is interesting looking and very inspired by tabletop, they say. We have dice rolls. We have parties full of, it looks like, 7 people. And I'm assuming it's turn-based since they're going hardcore tabletop. It looks like it's turn-based. But there's a lot of exploring and stuff, it looks like. But
and puzzles, too.
Yeah, because it's a tabletop dungeon. There should be puzzles. What is the release date, and is this actually have a demo or anything? No. Okay, so just plan release next year. You can wish list it now, which I'm going to go do, because that looks neat.
Yeah, that does look...
Doesn't mean it'll be good, but I'll follow it. Let's see.
It was giving me vibes of that wizardry, like, DS game, Darkspire.
I didn't play that. Was it worth it?
Depending on who you, I know former Backtrack alumni hated it. Either Mikey, or it was one of them. It was either Phil or Mike.
All right. The next story we should probably call. Let me give you a short summary, Kelly. They showed off more of Trails in the Skies remake. The Royal Capital of Grancil. So you're going to have to just come and look at the screenshots and videos if you want to see what's up with that.
Yeah. We have both the English and the Japanese version of that trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that game is doubling in length, so...
Oh, that's right. That was the discussion topic for that, wasn't it? That they're making it long.
Yes.
And you're like, wasn't Trails already long? And it's like, turns out, no, that was like 35 to 50 for the first one. Now they're going to make it 80.
I felt like that first game was like 20-ish.
It depends how much of the collectibles you did, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to finish out your bracer journal or whatnot.
Yeah, I don't do that. I do side quests, but I just kind of blow straight through.
Mm.
Not a true gamer.
Sure.
Because I have crap to do. But which Spring R is coming to Xbox this month alongside free DLC? Which Spring is the first game in the Which Spring series, which released for iOS and Android. You are a witch living alone in the forest, and there's exploration and crafting focused gameplay. This originally released on, well, wait a minute.
I think PC and some other consoles.
Yeah, I guess the free DLC is coming to everything.
Yeah.
And the Xbox One is just...
Just releasing games now at the same time as the DLC.
Oh, Chaos would like to remind us that we still need a gotcha news in the news.
So we need gotcha news and a Souls-like. All right, thanks, Chaos. We'll see if we can hit the checklist.
I have a bingo card out?
In my head?
All I can think of is we should actually start doing bingo cards.
Probably should. Yeah.
Mandragora Whispers of the Witch is heading to Switch in September. This originally came out on PC, PS5, and Xbox, and it's going to come out on Switch on September 4th.
This is a side-scrolling RPG. Does that mean it's a Metroidvania, or is it not a Metroidvania?
It could be our Souls-like.
Oh, could it be?
It has, like,
all right. Well, what do they say? What do they say? Let's see.
They don't claim it's a Souls-like.
There's dodge rolling in the trailer.
Oh, dodge rolling. That's a point in the Souls-like column.
It is.
We might have to judge this later. Let's see. It's got New Game Plus. Yeah, I don't know. Calling it a side-scrolling action RPG. Action RPG is potentially Souls-like. Dodge is potentially Souls-like.
Big
we'll
monsters.
See. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't consider big monsters Souls-like. I mean, big monsters have been around for, like, some of the bosses in Super Metroid. Super Metroid were really big.
That's true. Yeah. Which means, is it more of a Metroidvania? All right, we'll
I'm
see.
Just saying, there's a lot of Souls-like Metroidvanias out these days, like Blasphemy.
That's what Hollow Knight is, too, right?
Yeah.
All right, CRPG, Shrouded Aspect. This is not a Souls-like or a gacha, is it?
No, this looks like an old DOS RPG.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Is that all? Is that it? That's all we're saying?
Tactical turn-based combat.
It looks like a Baldur's Gate. So
yeah.
If you're into that, there you go. It's a little indie budget Baldur's Gate, but you know, still, as long as the game's good, the story's cool, who cares? Like, enjoy it. Yeah, there you go.
We got Robots at Midnight arriving on PS5 later this month.
Not to be confused with the Mad Bomber What Bombs at Midnight. This is just Robots at Midnight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Inspired by 80s retro futurism.
That looks Souls-like.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Okay. What do we think? We need to see it again?
Some of the earlier things.
Yeah, we got over-the-shoulder 3D action. No, I don't think so. There's a little bit much more button mashing than I would expect, Tim. We'll have to see. This is provisionally possibly Souls-like, but we got to see. Like, I don't know. He took down enemies in two hits too easily, so I don't know. Oh, Chaos saw a stamina bar, so maybe. So if we add up these stories, maybe we'll end up with the contents of one Souls-like, and that'll fill the quota.
I'm sorry, I find that funny.
NIS America's got an announcement, don't they, Kelly?
Yeah, Claudon X3 is getting a September release date.
Would that be X or Cross 3?
I don't know.
We don't know. All right.
Specifically on September 26th, the game launched in Japan earlier this year, it's going to be available on pretty much everything but the Xbox. And we have new screenshots, and this is the fourth title in the series, and once again, I have never been able to figure out how the heck you're supposed to play this game.
It looks like you can be a cat.
I will have to learn.
I don't know how this works, though. Like, is this a Mystery Dungeon style thing?
I have no idea.
I haven't played any Claudon, so I don't know.
I tried
classic
to play
dungeon,
the first
whatever.
One, and I was so confused.
Okay. We need some, what do we need? We need some Claudon experts to tell us more.
Sub question of the week. Can anybody explain Claudon?
We've probably had it explained to us before, but since we never play it, we forget.
Explain to me like a child, because I am dumb and this game is confusing.
I understand this next game's genre, though.
Dark Deity 2 coming to Switch 2?
It's a Fire Emblem-like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, just Switch. Not Switch 2.
Oh, okay. Probably doesn't need the extra hardware for Switch 2 no. for this.
Sorry.
So do you like pixel art RPGs made by... This is the one made by the guy who made a Fire Emblem Maker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who also made, like, the first Fire Emblems? Is this, like, this one? Is that the series? Is this the series?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember the first one being that good from what people said, but it was like competent and like it was like a 3 out of 5 sort of thing.
Exactly what we gave it.
Okay.
The original got 3 out of 5.
That's what I remember. So I'm just double checking. Hairfrog says it was fun though. So as long as it's fun, and maybe they'll make things even better in this one. Like, and then it looks like it's got that cool, like,
don't we have a review of this already?
Yeah, we did. It said it was 3 out of 10.
For the first one.
Yeah, for the first one.
Not no, I was saying for the second one. I thought we had a review of the second one.
Oh, well, let's check. Releases. Oh, yeah, we do. April 3rd.
3.5 out of 5. It is slightly better.
The tagline for the Dark Deity 2 review is perfectly serviceable.
Oh. Selling it hard here.
Dalendar. Selling it hard. Familiar tactical comfort food, good class variety, customization and luck able to result in any unit becoming suitably powerful. However, slow start to the story, Josh feeling that one in his Trails game, lacking its own distinct elements. Like, okay, it's a Fire Emblem game. The distinct elements is like cool animations in battle, right? So
cool animations in battle that you turn off after 10 hours.
Well, you do, but the first time it looks really cool when they get their criticals. Yeah.
I mean, that's how I feel about Super Robot Wars.
Yep.
Oh, watch, Super Robot Wars. Watch them all once. A whole turn it off. Level, doesn't yeah, it?
They're really it long in Super Robot yeah, exactly. Wars.
Exactly. Like a minute long.
Yeah. Like, you have to say, like, just play it. Do they have the option where it's like, I'll play it once and then skip it for the rest of your session? Is that a thing
no,
you can do?
It's usually
there?
Either on or off, or you just end up pressing the A button to skip. Unicorn Overlord was another culprit.
Yeah,
I felt bad only that,
you could turn off the entire battle screen. That was great.
I felt bad about that one because it's like, this is so beautiful, but it is so long. I don't have time for this crap.
All right. So Dark Deity 2 coming to the Switch in a few weeks.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Next story is about a demo?
Yeah, Lord Ambermay's demo available ahead of the September release. This is a dungeon crawling RPG. The demo is on Steam, and the game is set to release on September 2nd.
Is this Zelda-like, a roguelike, or something else?
I can't tell.
Okay, cool. Go play the demo. Demo's out now. First week of September will be released.
Now, it kind of reminds me of, Crown Trick, because it's like tactical squares. I saw something of one of the screens had like an attack line that was going across the map.
Yeah, I don't know.
It kind of reminds me of Crown Trick, which was a tactical roguelike.
Oh goodness, we're gonna have to download the demo and see.
One more, yeah, right there, or like two screens back.
This?
No, backwards. One more.
I do not remember Crown Trick.
Yeah, it really looks like a tactical, like, roguelike.
There is a grid of squares on the floor. It could be. Yeah. Everyone's aligned to a square. No, not in this one. He's moving between squares. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, that looks like movement between squares.
Yeah. Okay. So, here's where I give you what's coming out this week. The only thing I saw was a game based on a depressing anime, Puella Magi Madoka Magica, Magia etc.
That sure is some words there, Chris.
I didn't do it right, I know. But it's coming. Wait. It's out July 16th on Steam. It's coming. I'm so confused. Maybe this is already out, and this thing I looked at was, I looked at the wrong month!
No,
that was a free to play game that came out in July. We want August 16th. Goodness gracious! All right, what do we have? There's a Toho game coming out like usual. all right, we have Shantae Advance, Risky Revolution, Metroidvania. I think we cover the Shantae games. It's coming out. So I think is that a re-release or? Yeah, that's a GBA game.
That's the one that hadn't been released outside of its original release to any other consoles. So, this is coming out to everything now.
Yes, it's PC, Switch, both PlayStations, both Xboxes. So, there you go.
They made a limited run, made a repo card of the Game Boy Advance game because this was originally a canceled Game Boy Advance game that they have since revitalized. So now it's coming out for everything.
Okay.
I bought this game.
There
I
you
still have yet to play it.
Now you can get it digitally and play it
Yeah.
and still not play it.
Now I don't have to dig out my Game Boy Advance to play it.
Black Myth Wukong is seeing an Xbox release, so there's your Souls-like. Check that off.
Was that the one where you play a monkey?
Yeah, it's the Son Goku story, Journey West thing. So you're the Monkey King. We have, let's see, business sim, life sim, role playing called Discounty for PC, Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox. Is that actually an RPG? I don't know. This is kind of like a running a supermarket, but in a Stardew Valley kind of looking thing. I don't know. This might be role playing, so
Be
I'm going to
pushing
throw it in
it?
here, huh?
Might be pushing it.
No, I don't think it's pushing it. I think people on our site like Stardew, and they might appreciate this too, so they should check it out. There was a demo. There might still be a demo, so you can try it out before committing. And then we have what else we got here? There's a real-time strategy roguelike called Grit and Valor 1949, but that's real-time strat. I don't know how that works. Japan's getting some re-releases of Legend various Trails games for PS5,
PS5.
but not us. And let's see, we've got no, that's Japan only. Magical Librarian Ariana, so we'll skip that. Which Spring R we talked about earlier, that's this week. For Xbox One is what it says, which I guess means it's not very demanding.
I think it's already out on other things.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, story-driven RPG. It's already on Steam, for example. It's got a cool art style. What? Why haven't you played this, Kelly?
I don't know.
This like either a Kelly or an Anna game, Andy game, or both. This came out 2 years ago. That's why no one's playing it. All right. And then we have what else? Anything else? No, that's it. That's what we got. So, whoo.
And now we're at editorials?
Yes, and number one, I want to encourage everybody, go read the off review. That's been
Yeah,
doing
since
well
we
this
got
week.
props for it.
Yeah.
Was this the game that inspired Undertale?
Yes.
Okay. Pass.
One of. But it doesn't mean it is Undertale. But it does mean it's probably pretty weird. Ryan says, visually outstanding, with use of hand-drawn pencil work recreated wonderfully.
Why is the review off?
A thought-provoking fever dream of surrealism. New boss fights are very engaging. However, while trying its best, the new soundtrack hits differently than the original, and some puzzle clues can take a while to decipher. And so, no, I'm not going to say it. Yeah. All right, there you go. 4 out of 5. He liked it. So there you go. And then we have a Night Rain review for Elden Ring Night Rain. Let's see, what does
Is
that
that their
get?
Monster Hunter clone?
Sure. It's the group up with your friends and kill Dark Souls things. 3 out of 5. Spectacular bosses, experimental elements from FromSoft's combat, which is largely successful. However, the usual storytelling takes a backseat. What usual storytelling? From's usual storytelling is to not tell the story and make the fans figure it out. Sorry, let me take a breath. And then lack of multiple maps hurts variety. So sounds like the much loved environmental storytelling is pretty light here, says Zach Webster. So thank you, Zach. And then we have Megaton Musashi W Wired. What is this? Don't know anything. This is a mech game, isn't it? Have you played this,
Yes.
Tam?
No.
Are you going to?
It is not high on my priorities.
Megaton Musashi W Wired offers plenty in terms of a dumb, fun, giant robot game. While story issues and performance issues on Switch hold it back, the depth of the mecha customization and combat is entertaining overall. So maybe you should. He says, 3 out of 5. Enjoyable mech combat with And Ryan McCarthy's one who did this one. Enjoyable mech combat with in-depth customization, an overload of missions to partake in that allow a lot of that good giant robot action. The story starts off promising with an enjoyable cast of characters, but it completely collapses into borderline incoherence in the back half, so it's anime, got it. The overload of upgrade systems is probably too much, and minor hitches that make the Switch port not the most ideal way to play the game. So get it on something other than Switch, it sounds like.
I would probably get it on Steam.
Yep, that makes sense. And it is like this, this just came to Switch and it's already been elsewhere, I assume.
That or we just finally got a review for it, one of the two.
No, it looks like it just hit PC as well as the same time as so this is the US release, and it was PC, Switch, and PlayStation. US and Europe release, excuse me. So, okay. Lots of platforms. That's it for our reviews.
Yeah, it's been out on PC since April of last year.
Okay. I guess what I'm going to say now is it's time to decide what we're going to play this week. Kelly?
Finishing up Dragon Quest Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to brand myself from Atomicrops.
I'm going to install Atomicrops and see if I can get addicted to that.
It's really fun.
And I'll also continue playing Final Fantasy XI, probably a little bit more. And then Josh, what are you up to?
I'm going to do some surgery on my PC and add a new graphics card and stuff. So that.
Which one did you end up getting?
The 9060 XT.
9060.
The $400. I know, Chris. I know.
It's, oh man.
I hear the sigh. I hear it's the like, sigh.
I understand that's the budget range, but like, the dollar per FPS of that card, I'm not thrilled with.
I know. I would have held off and just saved up a little bit more.
The 9070 XT is how much? What, like 800, 700?
Yeah, that's stupid. The problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too much.
If it was still what it originally released for, the original MSRP, yeah, I totally would.
Got it. All right. And then after you do surgery, what are you going to play on it?
Ooh, I don't know. I gotta find something fun PC that in my backlog to pick. I haven't picked one yet.
Tam, you gonna keep playing Nikkei and Robot Wars?
Nikkei, Robot Wars, Uma, and I think that's pretty much it. There's really not much on my radar except playing the game of What's Wrong with My Water Heater.
Yeah, oh yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't mention this, but I've been fighting with issues with my water heater for about 2 weeks now.
Oof. Good luck with that. I hope you get that sorted. Yeah.
Actually, it hasn't been that bad because where I live, died the week it hit 100. Mm. We had record-breaking heat. It's been in the 90s this week. So, yeah, it's actually been an okay time for it to die. As weird as that may sound.
Like the tap is already almost 100. So, you know, whatever.
I was going to say, I live in Kansas, and, you know, when I go to fill up my water mug from the tap, it's like, you let it run a little bit to cool off, and it's like, okay, are you ever going to cool?
No, it's not.
Okay. Well, good thing I have ice.
All right, folks. That's it for the show. I want to encourage you to go to rpgamer.com, find the show thread, answer our question of the week, which was, what is the weirdest collaboration you've seen in an RPG?
Did we want to expand that to any game?
Yeah, let's make it just any game.
Weirdest collaboration you've seen in a game. All right. Weirdest game collaboration. What was the weirdest game collaboration? All right. Cool. And then what else? Stay tuned. Like Hairfrog's back and streaming. Tam's streaming. No Scar this weekend, but he'll be back next week, I'm sure. And then, we're having fun. Come join us at twitch.tv/RPGamer. And join us next week when we have another show. And thank you, Kelly, Josh, and Robert. Thank you, viewers. And we'll see you next week. All right, everyone?
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.